Drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Welcome on in. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Talking golf with you every single Saturday morning throughout the golf season. With you till 11 a.m. Tyler Rocky in our State Street studios and Mike Gilligan out at Bolingbrook Golf Club, the home of the 2024 LIV Golf Individual Championships. And Mike, just based off of the pictures that you've sent me out there, it is looking like a beautiful day out at Bolingbrook. Maybe a little bit chilly, but they are ready to go for the start of the LIV Golf Championships, individual championships that will be taking place less than a week from now.
You got that right, Tyler, and good morning. And good morning to everybody in Chicago. It's hard to believe we've actually flipped the calendar now to September. We've got a little fall crisp, you know, temperature in the air this morning. We have a few of the last bit of the golfers going out today. They will be closing the first tee at 1 o'clock. And there will be no more play until the professionals arrive beginning on Monday and Tuesday of this week. So today's the last time that people are going to get a chance to see the venue. And, you know, when we flipped the schedule, or the calendar, I should say, over to September, you know, you'd have thought with the PGA Tour ending last week that golf would be pretty quiet here in Chicago, and I think it's just the opposite. This has got a lot of momentum, a lot of publicity, and a lot of promotion, and Doug Priest just stopped by, the GM, and told me that ticket sales for this event are extremely strong. So they're expecting some nice big crowds. And from what I can see, they have done a bang-up job laying out this facility. It turned out a lot better than I would have ever even thought. So, you know, kudos to LIV. Kudos to Bolingbrook. They're going to put on one heck of a show. And, you know, and that's not the only thing that's going on in golf. We had President Cup teams finalized.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then Rory and LIV and everyone's getting together for a little made-for-TV they announced.
Yeah.
And did you notice the station?
Was it TNT, right? Yeah.
Yeah, is that the little preview of something that might be happening in the future? Who knows? But lots going on, even though we flipped the schedule to September. And for anyone who's thinking about coming out here, I would encourage you to do so. This is pretty cool to see how they have really ramped this up even to another level over the last 2 years at Rich Harvest.
Yeah, so we'll talk with Bolingbrook Golf Club's GM, Doug Freese, who you just mentioned there. He'll join us at 10:35. Swag Golf CEO, Nick Venson, will join us at 10 a.m. today. But I want to get, like, from what you've seen out at Bolingbrook, and you've played the course a number of times, you've been out there a number of times, what looks different, what looks new out there in terms of how they're really sprucing this thing up to get ready for when LIV gets out here this week?
Well, I think the first thing that most people that are familiar with the golf course here are going to notice right away, the first tee is now the 10th tee. So really what they've done, the big change is that the front nine will be the back nine and the back nine will be the front nine. And I think that's for logistical, for broadcasting, and for basically gallery flow based on how the golf course lays itself out. Aside from that, the other big difference you're going to see is what I call infrastructure. And they have created quite the stadium out at the signature par 3 that they have out there. And 18, I mean, well, to us, the 9th green is now the 18th green. It looks completely different than if you were playing it without a LIV event here with all of the infrastructure. I think the build-out and what people will see when they get here is going to be very, very impressive. If you've never been to a LIV event, and I've been to the first two here in Chicago, and I've seen how they've ramped up each and every year, and this year is no different, they're just going to have so much stuff to do out here. And I know when we talk to Bubba, his goats are going to be out here, the petting zoo to the best players in the world. But it, operationally speaking, Bolingbrook has done a fantastic job. And if you've never experienced professional golf in your life up front and close, here's a golden opportunity. Bolingbrook, easy to get to with great access off of 55. coming out of the city or coming from out west, north or south, an easy facility to get to. And from what I'm seeing and how they're going to handle parking and all that, it's going to be really slick here. They're going to have everybody entering over on the east side of the property. So they're, in essence, turning the front door to be facing due east. And the clubhouse, as we know, it won't be accessible for the public per se. So they're going to come in on the biggest area of property on the east side and then walk up. And then they'll be approaching the practice range, putting green, clubhouse, and all the rest of it. So, again, bring your kids, bring friends, bring family. It's going to be a ball out here all next week.
Yeah. You mentioned the flipping of the sides here. So the front nine is now the back nine and vice versa. Does it matter all that much with the shotgun start that Liv utilizes?
It doesn't in terms of the guys playing 18 holes. Where it'll matter is for the guys that are in the league come Saturday and Sunday and how they pair everybody up. So they'll play the golf course in its tournament routing, thus preparing for hopefully a fantastic, exciting finish at 18. And so that's consequently why they flip the nine, so they can handle the gallery far better by making number nine the last hole and that side the back nine in terms of trying to get, you know, the gallery around for those final groups, those final holes. And so that was really the determining factor from what I'm being told.
Got it. So, yeah, it should be a lot of fun out there. You know, looking at what the year we've seen on LIV and how they've kind of translated over to the PGA or the majors this year, you know, it's obviously the headliner is what Bryson has done. He went out, won the U.S. Open at Pinehurst in one of the thrilling finishes that we've seen this year. But the way that Jon Rahm played to sort of close out the year and what he showed at the Olympics, what he showed at the Open Championship, and what he's shown on LIV as well down the stretch, it's going to be really, really fun. Because if you think about where this thing was a year ago, we weren't talking about Bryson the way that we're talking about Bryson now. We certainly didn't have Jon Rahm as a part of the picture. And now those are the two biggest names that we'll be looking at by the time we get to this thing.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, and it's interesting when you're looking at the player of the year, and we just think John's been having a rather mediocre season, but he's never finished outside the top 10, and he has multiple handful of top, you know, three or within the top three. He's won one, second last, you know, last event. He's had a tremendous second half of the season here on LIV, and to your point with the Olympics. And then, you know, he had a very nice Open Championship. So the second half of 2024 for Mr. Jon Rahm has been going according to plan, and I think it goes back to what we've been saying. I think he's just getting comfortable now in the move. And so he and Joaquin Niemann are the two top players over on LIV, and by a large margin over Tyrell Hatton, Sergio, Louie, and Cam Smith. So really, it's a two-person individual race, in my opinion, you know, unless both of these players absolutely finish dead last, which we know isn't going to happen. But one of these two is going to take home, more than likely, the individual crown and all the money that goes along with it. But Jon Rahm is looking in really good form right now. The Jon Rahm that we knew last year, I think, is now starting to come out of hibernation. And the first half of the year was more of, I think, just getting himself comfortable with the change, both mentally and somewhat physically, because of not playing week to week, traveling all around the globe to go to these events. Yeah. So I think it's just a lot of first year kind of just getting my, you know, my wits about me in a way.
Yeah, getting your bearings down and
yeah,
figuring all that out. Because, yeah, it is a transition. You're playing a, like we mentioned, like it's a shotgun start. You're not playing the courses always in their traditional format. It's something where you're playing three rounds instead of four. There's certainly transition. You're playing less events as well. Some of these guys, they need the rhythm of it all to keep their game as sharp as it is. And sometimes they need that feel of competition so that they do feel as sharp as they need to feel. But you look at everything else that's taken place. I mean, could it be Phil's last professional event as well? I mean, we heard the rumblings from a little bit ago that, you know, maybe this could be it for Phil. And He's even said as much that the day he feels like he can't contribute anymore to his team and he feels like his game has fallen off, he'll step aside and usher in some new blood. And he's not alone, I'm sure, among the LIV golfers. And it's going to be interesting to see where this goes next in terms of infusing new blood into the league.
That's right. And, you know, they're with this event being the last one, you know, unlike the PGA Tour, they have relegation here. And so anyone that finishes 49th or lower is in threat now of no longer being, you know, on a team. And then they have to go through a process of kind of re-entry and to try to get put back on a team. So this week in Bolingbrook is very, very important for a few guys and a few big names that we would normally come to know, and Phil's among them. And there could be some names like the Ian Poulters of the world, you know, and to your point, you know, these other guys that are, you know, on the bubble. And, you know, we're looking at, like I said, Ian Poulter. And then also down in that same area is Pat Perez, Harold Varner, Brendan Grace, and Laurie Cantor, and Bubba Watson. But see, Bubba Watson's a captain, so he doesn't have that threat of going to relegation. But these other people do. And Ian Poulter's number 46. So if he has a bad event here, he's in trouble as well. And these are all big names. And if those names disappear from LIV, to your point, who's the new blood that's going to sell tickets? That's and drive optics to want to watch this stuff, whether it's on TV or if it's streaming.
All right. I do want to get to this. John Rahm spoke about the LIV event a couple weeks ago, just kind of previewing what he is expecting from Bolingbrook this year.
Doesn't change at all. I try to prepare every week to perform my best, you know, regardless of where I'm at in any rankings or anything. Every time I tee it up, the goal is to win, and that doesn't really change.
With the individual championship on the line, does the format add any extra pressure or excitement for you, and how do you handle that?
I mean, I think the pressure's always there. It's a little extra motivation as well, but I think all that comes into play Sunday if you have a chance, right? All depends on what the point distribution is, so I have to play this week to give myself a decent chance and come to Chicago.
And lastly, fans are always excited to see you play. How important is fan support to you, and what message do you have for those coming out to watch the tournament in Bolingbrook Golf Club?
Well, having a good fan base on a tournament is always good, right? I mean, the crowd out there makes it more exciting for them, which makes it more exciting for us. And it's just, in return, usually I would say it transforms into better golf, right? So I'd encourage everybody in Chicago to come on and watch. It's a great atmosphere. It's good golf. And being in the last tournament individually, I think you might see some really good performances that week.
Yeah, and we've seen some really low performances on the LIV Golf Tour this year. And, boy, I mean, Bolingbrook, it's another place that could be pretty gettable for some of these guys, too.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. And, you know, the other thing, when you ask me what will people notice when they come out here, as I'm looking out at the 18th hole, they have all the flags and all the colors of all the teams, and they are ripping right now into the wind. Right now, the wind is really blowing here. And if they don't get this next week and those warm temperatures that are due to get here, yeah, if it's warm and calm here, we could see some record shooting scores here. There is no question about it. You could see a 58 or a 57. It wouldn't surprise me. But we'll see. But if the wind blows like this, then Bolingbrook's going to be protected.
Yep. When we come back, let's get into you brought it up earlier, the match between Rory McIlroy and Scottie Scheffler going up against Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau. PGA Tour versus LIV. I want to discuss that when we come back here on the CDGA Golf Show.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, the segment brought to you by PGA Superstore. Visit any of our Chicagoland locations today. Real quick note, too, from our presenting sponsor, Glenview Park Golf Club. They've got one of the best deals going on right now. You can play Glenview Park Golf Club this fall and take advantage of a tremendous special, a foursome for just $199.95. So you book a foursome for the fall, you get it for $199.95. That includes a cart, and you'll also get a dozen golf balls as well. So call up Glenview Park Golf Club, 847-724-0250. That's 847-724-0250 to book your tee time now and experience the best at Glenview Park Golf Club. Quite the deal there that Ron Cassidy is handing out to all the golfers trying to squeeze in a few last rounds before the summer is over. I made my way out to Glenview Park last weekend, and boy, that place is in tremendous shape.
How did you play?
So, Sunday was bad. Sunday was my first round back. We had a twilight round, too, so we only got in, I think, like 12 holes. So I didn't get to finish it. And I missed my favorite circuit of holes, too. The stretch from 13, basically home, like 13 home to 18 is awesome. One of my favorite, like, awesome six-hole stretches you'll find around here. But particularly 13 to 15, I love. Love yes. that little stretch there. And then I played on Monday with Bleck and Abdallah, Chris Bleck and Adam Abdallah here at ESPN Chicago. And I played pretty well. I was very happy. It was my first full 18. I believe I had three pars and a birdie. I had a tap-in birdie on a par four that I was very happy with. Stuck it to within like a foot. So I was happy with that.
Well, you know, when you mentioned that deal, that is just for listeners and people that are listening. Because right now, the deal that they have for CDGA members outside of the show is $129 during the week and $149. So that gives you an idea of, and that'd be for a twosome, and you get the sleeve of balls and whatnot. So for a foursome, that is a ridiculously good deal.
Yeah.
So if you have any aspirations, never have played it, call Glenview Park right now, because it's only while the show is on. Once the show goes off the air, so does the offer.
Yeah. So get on that, do that right now, and again, Glenview Park Golf Club, call now, book a tee time with them. All right. Interesting little nugget and news that we got this week. And it is that Rory and Scotty are going to team up against Brooks and Bryson for a PGA versus LIV iteration of the match. It'll take place in the middle of December in Vegas, broadcast on TNT. And I got to say, the match has kind of run its course for me. I've seen it. I've seen it many iterations. I thought the first one was awesome when it was just Tiger versus Phil. It's what golf fans, I feel like, have really wanted for a long time, is just a 1v1 sort of match between the two of them. And it was tremendous theater, too. Went into a little bit of a playoff, and Phil comes out of it victorious. But this will reinvigorate me here. Like, I like this idea of you get PGA Tour versus LIV. We thought forever that these two entities would just be separate. And every year we get a little morsel here, a little morsel there that brings them both closer and closer together. And I think, this is the biggest sign of optimism that I've seen that these two tours are going to coexist together since the merger was announced. And to be honest, this may even surpass that, because that was great in the moment, but I've lost all sort of goodwill and good faith from that merger announcement. And this, to me, though, is showing me that there is a sign of life.
And you know what? I totally agree with you. And when you say that you like it, I don't like it. What I do is I love this.
Yeah.
Because to your point and what we've talked about, I don't know that we're ever going to get the straight scoop out of Jay Monahan. We're going to have to see little glimmers of hope, and this is perhaps the biggest one we've seen yet, and the one that has caught my eye, because it's almost as if Rory is being a little bit deliberate in how he's positioning this thing. Because what people don't quite understand, as a PGA Tour member, who basically he signed his media rights to the tour just as Scotty has done, so that arrangement now means the PGA Tour has to approve this event, even if there's no other tour event in conflict that week. So my thought is it's probably unlikely, and it appears that it would, that the PGA Tour would look really bad if they tried to say, no, we're not going to allow this to happen. But assuming that obviously it gets approved. But I think Rory, in the way that he has presented this, it's almost like this isn't moving fast enough, guys, for my liking. So I'm going to force this on you. And I think Rory has another plan in mind, or another reason behind all this to really get behind this. And I think he's trying to do this for the greater good of professional golf.
Yeah, so it's you've got the world number one in Scotty and the world number three teaming up in Rory. And then you got the two guys who, since they've gone to LIV, are the only two LIV members that have won a major in Brooks and Bryson. And I just think the venue's great, too. Doing this in Vegas is perfect. We've seen a couple of these in Vegas as well, and I think television-wise, it's worked the best. And I just think you finally get what we've been looking for. And it's cool to have the matchups in majors where you have, like, Rory versus Bryson down the stretch, but they weren't paired together. And it's cool to have these guys, even though it doesn't mean anything per se, but it just has gravitas within the game. And you're talking about four of the biggest names and four of the biggest, especially on the LIV side, two of the biggest personalities in the game as well. Like, I'm glad it's Bryson and Brooks instead of a Bryson and John Rahm or a Brooks and John Rahm. Bryson's perfect for this event. And then Brooks Koepka is another guy who is, I think, perfect for this event too, just because of the personality. And seeing him go up against Rory and Scotty, and maybe there's some resentment at first from Rory and towards Brooks when he made the leap over to LIV, and Scotty has just kind of been this nonchalant guy, but this year feels like made himself the bad boy of the golf world too, after he got arrested and just everything else that went into putting this thing together. I didn't think we would ever get something like this until they were fully merged together, but I'm glad that we're getting it before, because it does signal that there is some hope that this thing is going to get put together.
And it's also just, again, a reminder of how much time does heal most wounds. And a couple years ago, these two wouldn't have even been in the same state as one another, let alone now we're getting what we really wanted. From the very beginning, when this LIV golf was developed, we had all talked about, wouldn't it be great if the PGA Tour and LIV could go at each other in a Ryder Cup format or this or that? Well, now we're going to get it. And to your point, this re-energizes that third season, you know, made for TV events, because from what I'm gathering, these guys are going to get paid appearance fee. I'm sure that the money that they're going to play for is all going to go to charity. But when you talk about having, you know, Brooks and Bryson together, I mean, first off, you go back a number of years ago, you didn't think they'd ever pair up together when they were both just on the PGA Tour. But Bryson has now demonstrated through YouTube and the followers that he has, he will bring an audience to this that these other three just don't have. I mean, they have followers, but not like Bryson does. Mm-hmm. And Bryson brings that personality, you know, and then when you put Brooks and Bryson together, they're kind of yin and yang. And I look at the same thing with Rory and Scotty. Scotty's going to be your little more quiet guy, and I think Rory's going to be the guy that's going to be chirping a little bit more during the telecast. But it's going to give us an opportunity to really get to know these four guys, and I think how they interact with one another is really going to be an amazing foreshadowing to see where the PIF and PGA Tour and LIV saga continues going into 2025. My hope is when this event ends that we are all walking away with hope. We're walking away with the possibility of this thing now seeing the end, and that the end might be in sight. That is my hope, that this is the beginning of the end.
Yeah. As a golf fan, does this energize you? 312-332-3776. This is a really straying from a lot of what we've seen. To be honest, a lot of what we've seen on the tour and stuff like that has lacked energy. But this feels like it's a new day, and things are changing a little bit. And this is the biggest development that we've seen between the two entities of the tour and LIV Golf. And you're going to get to see guys like Bryson and Brooks out at Bolingbrook this upcoming week. But You don't get to see a lot of these guys go head-to-head, and you certainly don't get to hear all the banter and stuff like that that goes on between them as well, because that's always a huge component of this, is you've got the ability to mic them up, and you hear everything that they're saying. I think TNT does a really good job with the broadcast that they put together for this as well, and it's just interesting, too, that TNT is going to be the network that picks this up, as they have done many times in the past, and you're going to have Ernie. You're probably going to have Charles Barkley a part of this as well. It's all good, and I think it's moving things in the right direction. But 312-332-3776, does this energize you as a golf fan, or do you not care? Maybe you don't care. Maybe this doesn't mean anything to you because it doesn't mean anything. It's not going towards any sort of ranking points, or no one's lifting a true trophy out of this. We want to hear from you. 312-332-3776. We'll take some of your calls. And also, Scotty's banner year got even richer. We'll talk about that and more when we come back. This segment brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
This segment brought to you by Coghill Golf and Country Club, a pure golf experience. Alongside Mike Gilligan, who is on site at Bolingbrook Golf Club, I'm Tyler Aki, talking golf with you every single Saturday throughout the golfing season, as the LIV Golf Individual Championships will be taking place a little bit later on this week. We'll talk with Doug Freese, the GM out at Bolingbrook Golf Club, the host site, and Nick Venzin, the CEO of Swag Golf, will join us at 10 o'clock to talk about everything that's going on in the apparel and gear world and accessories, all that coming up at 10 o'clock. So Rory McIlroy, boy, he's had himself quite a payday. He's getting paid like one of these quarterbacks these days. $62.5 million is what Rory is taking home this year. And, I mean, that's all with just one major, but he won half of the elevated events this year. He was the leader for the Comcast Business Tour rankings, and then he comes home with a tour championship as well. That's going to lead to a pretty hefty payday, and he should be thanking Tiger Woods. He should be thanking Phil Mickelson, because between Tiger getting the eyeballs and Phil kind of exposing the underbelly of how much money was in the banana stand for the PGA Tour, that is a hefty paycheck to be taken home for the year for Scottie Scheffler.
Well, he's getting paid like an NFL quarterback, the top quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
And that's never, ever in the history of golfing the NFL been even close. So what Scottie has done, literally from the dollars and cents perspective, is absurd and staggering. And to your point, Tiger, Phil, but I'd even go back to, as we're sitting here at LIV, to Greg Norman. Because Greg Norman, way back in the day, helped elevate the purses before Tiger took it to the next level. So, yeah, Scottie Scheffler and the rest of the boys that are playing in today's game have those three main characters to thank for where we are today with these purses being what they are. But Scotty not only dominated in the earning side of it, but his stroke average was absolutely incredible this year. It broke the all-time record at 68.01. And that's an average. I mean, some of us will never even visit the 60s, and he's just playing the hardest golf courses, the longest golf courses, amongst the highest competition there is in the world, and averaging 68 shots around. That is absolutely incredible.
And he made every single cut too this year, which is, I mean, sometimes you see some of the best in the world, even they'll have an off tournament, and they'll get to Friday and things aren't going quite their way, and they'll say, you know what, I don't need this. I can go home. I can take a weekend off here, not the end of the world. And just what he's doing, the ball striking is fantastic. We really haven't seen anything like that on the tour since Tiger. It is incredible what he has been able to put together this year. So much so that his caddy, Ted Scott, if you take the average calculations, he would be a top 20 earner on tour. His caddy.
Oh, yeah, and that's absolutely incredible. He would have finished, I think he would have finished right around Brian Harmon. And he would have beat the likes of Adam Scott. Yeah. So, you know, when a caddy is earning well over $5 million for carrying a golf bag, times are a lot different now. And it's absolutely amazing. But, and here's the amazing part about Ted Scott. He had to be talked into caddying for Scotty because he was thinking about retiring once he left Bubba Watson's bag. So whoever talked him into staying, I'm sure he's getting a nice Christmas gift or at least a fruit basket from Ted. But the dominance that Scotty has shown is absolutely unreal. You know, the last time he lost shots to the field when playing his irons, so how they match, you know, giving up shots, you know, making up shots on the field and whatnot. Yeah. The last time Scotty lost shots with his approach shots, iron into the greens, was 36 tournaments ago back in 2022. I mean, this is a guy that is in such command of what he's doing, how he's going about it. And it's just amazing to watch. And I've said this in shows before. We don't even realize it, but we're witnessing history just as we were while Tiger was doing his thing. And, you know, when you talk about the $62 million that Scotty did earn, I read some amazing stats. Do you know that that equates out to like $3,000 a minute? And they factored, based on that, while he was in jail in Louisville, he earned $284,000 sitting in that cell.
Must be nice.
So, yeah. I mean, I don't know many other ex-convicts are hauling in that kind of change when they walk out of the big house, but Scotty did. And in fact, then he went on and, you know, shot 69 afterwards. But he has just proven to the world, and I think his performance last week down in Atlanta, it was almost as if he was, like, playing with the guys. He let them get within two shots, and then for a second there, you thought, well, maybe this will get interesting. And then he said, now watch this. And then birdie, birdie, eagle. And then the next thing you know, he's back up by five. So he has just, you know, I think changed the way we look at the game. It's almost like there's Scotty. Xander's kind of up there. Mm-hmm. And then there's the rest of the tour.
But even,
and that's kind of how it...
Yeah, but like even Xander, it feels like he's very self-aware that of what the gap is. Talking about it comparing seasons that the two of them had, even him, he still feels very self-aware that, yeah, I've got a long way to go to get to where he is right now and the level that he's playing at, and that he would take Scotty's year over what he's done. And, I mean, Xander's won two majors this year, albeit they're his only two wins of the year. But Scotty, with everything that he's done, the seven wins, the one major, the gold medal, the earnings bonuses and stuff like that, I mean, he's put together a hell of a year. And Xander, even though he's number two, still knows that there is a significant gap between him and what Scotty's doing right now.
Yeah, and then the question will become, as we float through this long winter and kind of come out of this back in 2025 again, and when we start seeing them compete, can Scotty keep this torrid pace going? That's right. The dominance. Or has there been players like Colin Morikawa and Xander that are going to go back to the drawing board, back to the workbench, back to the lab, and say, I've got work to do if I'm going to close in on Scotty Scheffler? And maybe Victor Hovland's going back into the offseason with a renewed, like, I got to get my mind straight. But I think Scotty has set the bar at a level that I think most people, when Tiger went away from the game, they kind of thought that maybe the level will drop back down to being what most mortals can do. But take away Tiger, now put Scotty up there, and there is clearly a number one person. And he's been in the number one position, FedEx Cup points, for 50 straight weeks. The record is 85 by Tiger. So Scotty, as these weeks start to click off, he's going to start going in for that record as well. And once again, we're witnessing history.
The fascinating thing, too, with his dominance is that there's a gap year in there. Two, where 2022 was where he really burst onto the scene, won his first major at the Masters, and then we saw last year it was John Rahm's year. It was all things Rahm all year long, and then Scotty bounces back this year and puts together the dominant performance that we became accustomed to in 2022. How many times have we seen with some of these young up-and-coming golfers. You mentioned a guy like Victor Hovland, Morikawa, Spieth. They go out and set the world on fire that one year, and then they never get back there. And Scotty, he was at the top of the world in 22, fell off a little bit. I shouldn't even say fell off. I think Rahm just played out of his mind in 23. And then Scotty, even if Rahm was still on the PGA Tour, I don't think would have mattered. We still would have seen Scotty have the same level of dominance that we saw this season. I don't think having John Rahm not a part of the picture would change any of that.
No, I totally agree with you on that. And, you know, again, you start to look at the season that Scotty had. You know, his worst score of the whole year was the second round at Augusta when he shot 72. Since then, he hasn't had any over par rounds the entire season. Rory had 8, Xander had 4, Wyndham had 6, and Hovland had 5. Again, he's always in the red. And he knows when things aren't going well how to manufacture around when he may not be at his tip-top best. And even that is still better than the rest. And his 76 rounds played this year, he was in the 60s 49 times, and that's the most on tour. So
that's incredible.
Go ahead. It just goes to show you how just incredible he is.
Right. All right. When we come back, we'll get into some other things going on around the PGA Tour, some other news that's taking place, and also with the LIV Golf Championships and Mike being out at Bolingbrook Golf Club, we'll hit on all that as well. This segment brought to you by Cog Hill Golf and Country Club, home of 42 practice bays with Top Tracer technology.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. We'll talk with Swag Golf CEO Nick Venzin coming up in about 8 minutes from now. All the latest in the accessories world and everything that's going on with Swag Golf. They've got some really cool club head covers and stuff like that. So we'll talk to Nick about how all that came to be. And then Doug Freese, the GM over at Bolingbrook Golf Club, will join us coming up at 10:35. Get you all set. Everything you need to know if you're going out to the LIV Golf Individual Championships that'll be taking place out at wonderful Bolingbrook Golf Club. So Doug will join us at 10:35. This was some news that I found interesting as well. Ludvig Åberg is having surgery for his torn meniscus. So he was playing through that towards the end of the season. Should be able to hit balls again a little less than a month from now. Going to play a limited schedule for the fall season here, but Ludvig was someone who came out guns a-blazing to begin the year, and when he was healthy, when he looked right, he was fantastic, but you could tell there were certain tournaments where things weren't looking quite right, specifically at the PGA Championship, where it was kind of in doubt whether or not he was going to play, and then he ended up he didn't look right at the end, and I don't think you or I really held it against him because he was going into it with a knee injury. And from the reports that you could hear from people that were walking the course and watching him in the practice rounds, he didn't look great. So it was kind of easy to tell after a stellar Masters that he wasn't going to be great at the PGA Championship, which was the next major on the calendar. But then he was tremendous at the BMWs this past month. I mean, he finished runner-up there and tied for 12th at the U.S. Open, but he just had some on and off events this year, and I think a lot of it probably had to do with some of the knee pain.
Well, and for somebody like myself that's had two meniscus surgeries and how much it does affect your golf and your walking, it's a real pain in the knee. I mean, it's one of those things that it'll flare up at any moment because it's like a loose flap that's flapping around in the knee. And if it gets into a weird position, it will just make you crumble and buckle. But if that thing sits nicely, you can do just about anything. So it's a weird feeling when you have to put pressure on it and you're not sure it's there each and every time. And I know at his level, it's got to be even more concerning. So he'll go in and get it cleaned up orthoscopically, and he'll be as good as new. I don't have any fear that he'll be back with, you know, any sort of, you know, effect or residual negative effect from the surgery. The injury I'd be most interested to see who comes out of this is going to be Jordan Spieth, because it's a wrist.
Yeah.
But with Ludwig, you mentioned, you know, he started out like a house of fire, and he had some great events. But his issue seemed to be more that he couldn't finish on Sunday. His Sunday rounds have been notoriously not good. And, in fact, they've been over par, to be honest.
Yeah.
And as a result, that might be the wear and tear of that knee. And by the time you get to your, you know, 72nd or that fourth round, 72nd hole type of thing, it's just it's out of gas.
That's exactly where I was going to go with this. I think it explains a lot of some of the Sunday struggles that he has had over the course of this past season. And you look at, I mean, because he was so dominant for the first three rounds, and then there was a long stretch where he hadn't gone subpar in a Sunday round since the Masters, which
right
all the way back in April, like beginning of April, too. So, yeah, I think a lot of that had to do with the wear and tear, and just eventually he kind of gives out and he'll muscle through the 18 holes there, but he knows that it's things aren't right within the confines of that knee, and that was a huge problem for him and probably why we saw him struggling, maybe not come away victorious a little more.
Oh, exactly. And I think had he not had the knee injury, I think he would have been a more formidable factor on Sundays. We never really saw him get into the hunt at the Open and the U.S. Open. And, you know, he could have, but just didn't. And I think, again, when you consider the amount of preparation that goes into a major, they treat those so differently than a PGA Tour, you know, event, in how they practice and the amount of time that they're spending at the course, you know, chipping, putting, hitting balls, working on things. It ramps up to a whole nother level. And so what we don't see is the work that they're putting in Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We flip on the TV to catch them on, you know, the first two rounds. But you don't understand the amount of work that went in. So they probably got 20 to 30 hours of work before they even tee it up on Thursday. All of that on that knee come Sunday is going to be problematic. And it just, I think that's exactly what his issue was. So I'd look for 2025 Ludwig to not only win, but I think he's going to win a major. I really do. I think he's got everything going for him. And I think between physical health, the mental health, that the physical knee is now working good, put all that back into a healthy Ludwig and, you know, watch him go next year.
Yeah, hopefully that will be the case, because when he's at his best, he's one of the fun guys to watch on the tour. All right, when we come back, we'll talk with Swag Golf CEO Nick Venzin, all the latest in the apparel industry and the accessory industry as well. That's all coming up next. The Chicago native Nick Venzin will join us in 2 minutes here on the CDGA Golf Show. And this segment has been brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.